In her new book, Our Lot, journalist Alyssa Katz goes back to the origins of the mortgage crisis that has wrecked the economy, revealing the real estate bubble as the product of a decades-long campaign of social and financial engineering by the U.S. government to make the American dream of home ownership possible for those who were never able to attain it before. Both community activists and Wall Street bankers played pivotal roles. Katz writes about two prominent such people in her opening chapter, beginning with an Indiana woman named Gail Sincotta.
She's central because, you know, Gail had been fighting. She was a housewife from Chicago who watched her neighborhood fall apart around her because basically people couldn't get home mortgages, and when they could get them, they were sort of the 1960s, 1970s equivalent of subprime loans, and these were actually insured by the federal government. So, you know, what she did was organize people in her community and then across Chicago, and then finally worked with groups nationally to come to Washington and say, look, enough is enough. You can't, you know, it's not acceptable that banks can simply say, you know what, we don't want to lend in this community because we think that this is not a good investment. We will only lend to people in the suburbs, almost overwhelmingly white borrowers. And they essentially, the banks at that time, they redlined cities, meaning they would literally draw a line on a map and say, well, we are not going to do business in these areas. But ironically, they were taking deposits from customers in those same areas. That, you know, so their money, the borrower's money was good enough to you know, put into deposits, but banks just would unilaterally decide they wouldn't lend there. So what the Community Reinvestment Act did was simply say to financial institutions regulated by the federal government, look, you have to play fair. If you're going to do business in a community, if you're going to have branches and take deposits there, you also have to lend there fairly on sound business terms. We're not asking you to make loans that people can't repay. What we are doing is saying you have to meet the credit needs of your community.
In your first chapter, entitled Almost Like a Conspiracy, you juxtapose Gail Sincotta's narrative with that of a trader for Salomon Brothers named Louis Ranieri. Who is he, and why does he play such an important role in your story?
Well, Ranieri was, he had been a former night mailroom clerk at Salomon Brothers who had worked his way up to be a trader and did business in mortgages. But these were government package mortgages. Basically, agencies would pool together thousands of mortgages owned by homeowners across the country and then sell them to investors to generate more money to lend out. And this was a decent enough business for Salomon Brothers, which was Ranieri's employer, but it was still a government-run business. And Ranieri had the inspiration, as did others of his colleagues, to build this into a much bigger business on much freer terms and without the government as a intermediary. And so he began to lobby and work closely with the Reagan administration as it came in the early 80s to figure out, well, how can they change laws and regulations to make it possible for Salomon Brothers and other investment banks to create their own business in mortgage-backed securities, to be a conduit. Basically, investors would buy shares of these securities pools, and then Salomon would go out and sell them. And Ranieri promised that this would widen access to home lending, to a much, much greater degree than it, you know, had been available before. In a sense, he was seeking to accomplish the same thing that Gail Sincotta was, wider and wider spread home ownership, but he was doing it through deregulation of the markets.
We're speaking with journalist Alyssa Katz. She's the author of the new book, Our Lot, How Real Estate Came to Own Us. Alyssa Katz, the promotion of home ownership certainly became a maxim in Washington, and a bipartisan effort at that. You mentioned Ranieri doing his work back in the Reagan time. Certainly in the 90s, this became really big with Bill Clinton and then George W. Bush, this whole, again, promotion of home ownership. Was there ever anybody saying to either of these leaders in Washington, or any of these leaders in Washington, and that includes the Congress as well, maybe we should, there might be some downsides here, and we should take it easy a little bit?
Not really, believe it or not. I mean, home ownership has been the dominant, the national housing policy for so long because it is such a political winner. This is sort of the one thing that Democrats and Republicans have always been able to agree on. And, you know, I think there were definitely concerns along the way that too many of the new homeowners that were coming in through new government programs and new programs through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that they were running into trouble, not because of the government programs or CRA or Fannie and Freddie, but because this new growing subprime industry that kind of came out of the mortgage securities market that Louis Ranieri helped create was basically coming in and, you know, getting borrowers into trouble with loans that they couldn't repay. And this has been going on for quite a while, since the early 90s, and a lot of consumer advocates, community organizers, and others did warn, and members of the Federal Reserve Board as well, did warn that subprime lending was becoming a problem. But by and large, the growth of home ownership and home ownership as a kind of political cause kept continuing.